You're listening to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Vanessa back with us tomorrow. Happy April 11th, everybody. The most important holiday of the year. The day that I was brought forth into the world 33 years ago and broke my mother's hips along the way. Sorry, Mom. I apologize for that. Didn't have any control over the size of my head. He's got a big head, that one. Over the course of today's show, we have talked about, well, the Astros taking 3 of 4 over the weekend from the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. They have the day off today. The only real, I think, critique that anyone had coming out of this weekend series is some of the lineup decisions from Dusty Baker, but a long season, and generally those are very small things to quibble about. We also saw in the Masters, Scottie Scheffler take the whole thing home yesterday. Here's old Nancy on the, Jim Nance, of course, on the call yesterday.
Scheffler outshines them all at Augusta.
You know that Jim Nance definitely thinks about his final call for everything, and I always wonder, what is it that he does? Have you ever tried to make yourself a song or like a rap or something like that, just impromptu? I always go to rhymezone.com and see what rhymes with what. Does he go to like alliteration.com and tries to find something like Scheffler outshines them all? Like, was that what he was thinking? I feel like he could have done better. Just me. But it's Scottie Scheffler that wins it. Someone who I had no idea that was the number one golfer in the world going into the weekend. My apologies for that. I'm a very casual observer of golf. But God, he was a machine. Just an absolute machine. He was winning by a mile on Saturday. Didn't need to do much on Sunday, even with Rory McIlroy looking like a bat out of hell in that last round. I mean, he shot a final round 64. Holy crap. And what you saw him do at the very end, too, where both he and Colin Morikawa out of the bunker are dumping it in on 18. It was perfect. But were you watching it? Were you watching it very hard? Twitch.tv/ESPN97.5. Ocho Texto, he said that, yeah, once Tiger checked out, I checked out. And that seems to be what everyone was saying. It is a bummer. I wish it wasn't like that. And I know that there are a lot of hardcore golf fans out there that like it. And I'll be honest, like, golf is not my favorite thing, but I try to watch the Masters. Fell asleep because I'm getting older and older. But, you know, you watch it and, I guess there's not enough drama. Like, doesn't it need a Will Smith kind of incident to happen to perhaps, you know, drive ratings, if you will? You know, a lot of people had that conspiracy theory that the Oscars asked Will Smith to do that so that people will tune in next year or something like that. I mean, if someone slapped Patrick Reed in the face, I would watch that. That would get me more into it. No offense, Patrick Reed. Or to Bryson DeChambeau. Or someone just got in a fight with either of those two.
Or it'd be like if Bryson DeChambeau finally got fed up with Nick Faldo and ran over to the set and just slapped Nick Faldo.
Hell yeah. That would be great. Does Nick Faldo constantly pick on Bryson DeChambeau?
I think he said some not nice stuff. I want to say last year, where he was good, relishing in Bryson struggling after he said that Augusta's like a par 67 for him.
Well, I mean, Bryson, when you stick your foot in your mouth, you're going to have to eat that stank from time to time. And he does that a lot. A lot, a lot. A lot, a lot, a lot. Yeah, I would like more beef in golf. I'm not going to lie. Doesn't seem like there's enough. I mean, it feels like even between Bryson DeChambeau and Brooks Koepka, does that beef still have the same kind of juice? Still kind of fat? I don't know that it does necessarily anymore. It seems like since they had that little 2-on-2 thing that they did, that they're perhaps like cooler with each other. And it's bad. It's bad for golf. We need some vitriol. We need some drama. We need some tension. Because otherwise it's like, oh, Tiger Woods. So courageous. So courageous. And look, props to him getting back out there and obviously not lasting as well as you wanted him to for the 78 that he shot on Saturday and the 78 that he shot on Sunday. He made the cut. It's a cool comeback. But I remember hearing like this morning, that's one of the greatest comebacks we've ever seen. Oh, yeah, all right. I mean, it's amazing that he's playing again, just given all that his body has been through. There's no doubt about that. And he looked really good on Thursday. But once all of a sudden it's like, oh, so Tiger Woods is just another golfer for this tournament. Do you feel any differently? Go for the next one? For the Open? Cheerio, it's the Open. Not the British Open. We can't be called that. A couple of people that respond. I have Flimsy Cherry. I watched like 5 minutes all weekend. What else do we have? Twitch.tv/ESPN975. DeChambeau Koepka beef likes flat. said it would help golf. Yeah, and then it stopped. Cam Smith, I guess, was in it for a little bit. I do like Cam Smith. Just the cut of his jib, if you will. I like that there's somebody that looks like Joe Dirt out there. That is a popular look, by the way, now. How many mullets have you guys noticed these days? Like, mullets are back. I've seen a lot of people with lettuce in the back. But, you know, clean up front, like a lion's mane in the back. It looks kind of like a lion from the 1980s that would wear like a crop top football jersey on the field. Back in the 80s when things were cool, where you wore a crop top jersey and you had a cowboy collar.
What was that? What was with the crop top jerseys?
It's a great question, Sean. I don't know. You know, this is a funny story. When I was playing high school football, the running back for our team my sophomore year was this guy by the name of Jake Stein. And Jake Stein would lead the county in rushing in Pinellas County. And it was always noteworthy because we were like the one football team in the area that had a lot of Jewish players. And Jake Stein was Jewish. And I think it was awesome that we had a, you know, pioneer who was leading the Pinellas County in rushing at the time. He also wore a crop top. He wore a crop top, and he also would huck the boniest sounding loogies that I can remember. Like, it gave me chills just thinking about it. And he did it all the time. It's like 3 or 4 times a game, he would just huck a loogie. And I was like, ew, I feel like there's some cartilage in that, man. Jake, what are you doing? But he also wore crop tops. But that was back in 2004, 2005. It's weird to think of crop tops being a thing and cowboy collars being a thing and the face mask that had the bar down the middle being a thing too. Those were a thing. And like, you would see running backs wearing it. And I was always like, how are you not cross-eyed? What's going on there? I don't know how we got off on this from talking about the Masters, other than this is sort of what golf lends itself to. No fault of its own. It's one of those things where I'm going to check in on all the majors. I will watch them for a little bit of time, but I'm not going to spend my whole afternoon watching them. I suppose there will come a day where it's maybe more for me. Is this like something that happens like as soon as you have a kid? Is this like, oh, okay. Not only are you going to wear New Balance shoes and get up at the crack of dawn to mow the lawn, but you're also going to, on a Sunday, sit on the couch and watch the Masters for 6 to 7 hours straight, probably falling asleep at some point in the middle of that. Is that the next step? I think I'm getting there because I watched 3 sporting events this weekend and I fell asleep during all of them. Every single time. I'm surprised that I fell asleep too. Like the second time, I just drank a cup of coffee. I don't even know what happened. I just was like, oh, wow, I dozed off for 20 minutes. Huh? That's something. But yeah. Masters talk, everybody.
Do you think it kind of got swallowed up by the weekend of sports where it was the last kind of last weekend of the NBA?
But I wasn't
baseball.
You know, Sean, I've been like, generally, when March Madness starts is when I check out on the NBA until the playoffs begin. Baseball, I was definitely a lot more in on because it's the first weekend of the series, or first series of the week first series of the season for the Houston Astros. So I was excited about that, that's for sure. And I was paying a lot more attention to that. But yeah, I don't know. It just wasn't there. Someone texted in 713-780-3776. Cutting Scotty's lead to one stroke after two holes wasn't drama. Yeah, because he ran away with it. Cam Smith hitting it into the water on 12 wasn't drama. The most drama was on 18 when you saw Scheffler miss twice. And you're like, oh, wait, is this actually possible? But he still would have had to miss like 3 more times, I think, for it to have gone into a playoff or something like that. Text in. I love the idea of talking about comebacks, referring to Tiger Woods. Here's my list. Number 1, Alex Smith. Number 2, everyone else. Alex Smith's comeback is the, whoa, like just gross. Like the, there was a documentary, I think it was E60 or something like that, and every now and then they'll have it on TV. And it's been on at the bar a couple of times. Like, imagine you're at a bar or a restaurant, and it's just on in the background, and it's muted, and you're not paying any attention to it, and all of a sudden you're like, whoa, that is, I can see his quadriceps. I can see his tendons and ligaments moving around. It's like Two-Face's face in The Dark Knight. You can see everything. It's a lot. And they just show it. And I mean, goodness gracious.
How is that allowed to be shown on ESPN, but like they can't show Frank Vogel cursing? You can show just body horror and nothing else.
That's a great question, Sean Mapes Behind the Glass. I've always wondered about just showing replays of injuries because no one ever wants to see them.
Yeah, like the Kevin Ware one in the March Madness. Like, God. That was on just regular TV.
And they showed it again, and you would think that the producer with the slow replay, like, I'm sure they're talking to the camera people, and the camera person obviously saw it, like, live.
Yeah, he's not even talking. He's just vomiting, probably.
Oh, like, God. I mean, he's the one that zoomed in on it, and he's probably being told to stay zoomed in on it. Like, what do you do? Ooh, yeah, you're right. It's weird that swears are bad, but we're going to show someone's, like, spinal cord snap. Oh, God, ow. Anyway, that has been Masters Talk, and as you can tell, like, we're real big golf guys here. Sean Mapes Behind the Glass. I'm Paul Gallant. 713-780-3776. 713-780-ESPN. This was an awesome NFL rumor. I wonder how much truth there is to it, but with the amount of noise it's been getting over the last couple of days, there must have been something to it. We'll tell you what that is, plus it's really just awful to see what happened to Dwayne Haskins over the weekend, but some of the reaction to Dwayne Haskins was pretty bad. You'll hear some of that too next. Vanessa and Gallant, ESPN 97.5, 92.5.
This is Ed Too Tall Jones, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Vanessa and Gallant continues on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Vanessa back with us tomorrow. We're looking forward to her return. She's up in Indianapolis with family after her father passed away. Can't even imagine what she's been going through, but we're really excited to have her back tomorrow. This was an interesting story across the NFL that I didn't know how much stock to put into it, but given the way that things went for Florida man, Tom Brady, noted Florida man, this offseason, it's not impossible. It's not implausible. It makes sense, in fact. Because it's hard to understand why Tom Brady was willing to retire and then unretire. What happened? Especially when he was asked about retiring, he seemed very non-committal to actually retiring. That interview that he did with, I think, Jim Gray. So you're wondering, okay, well, what's really going on here? Does he not like Bruce Arians? Does he want to work with another coach? What's really going on? Well, the Miami Dolphins were supposedly planning on a package deal with Tom Brady and Sean Payton. They were going to make Tom Brady a minority owner. And Ben Volen of the Boston Globe, who I think was on the bench last week, Brady would have gotten a position high in the Miami front office for, I guess, the end of his playing career. But then, when the Brian Flores lawsuit happened, it was filed the same day that Brady announced his retirement, stopped it. No Peyton, no Brady. And I guess the understanding was, even if the Bucs wanted Brady to play for them, that eventually they would have said, all right, fine. That they would have let him go. The same thing would have happened with Sean Payton. And it would be really intriguing if it were Brian Flores and that lawsuit that stopped this entire thing from moving. Because that would probably be the craziest story in NFL history. A guy retiring or forcing his way out of town to go play for another team in the same state that he's in but also to be a part of ownership. Unprecedented. We haven't seen that from an active player ever. And those details would 100% have seen the light of day. There's no way that they would be hiding this behind closed doors or something like that. This all would have been out in the open. And if you want to bring somebody like Tom Brady in, or maybe you wish you could have lured Aaron Rodgers away from Green Bay, like I think a lot of teams across the NFL were probably thinking to themselves, maybe this is the next step of luring a player away from one team to another. Whether it's sending them a $230 million all-guaranteed contract at quarterback, which is what Deshaun Watson is getting, or it's offering some sort of stake like this. If you're really desperate for a quarterback, why not? Why not try it? The Dolphins haven't had a quarterback since Dan Marino. Yes, they've had like Damon Heward had a couple of good seasons. Chad Pennington, I think, came in for a year. He wasn't bad. You had, I guess you could say Ryan Tannehill wasn't the worst. You know, you've had no one, though, at that position at quarterback in Miami for a really, really long time. And imagine if they were to get Brady. This is how you do it. I don't hate him for trying, if that's actually true. And I feel like it probably was, just given all the smoke that we've been hearing about it. Like, there's never nothing to a bunch of rumors that are coming out at the same time that are very similar to this. 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN is how you call and it's how you text into. It's Vanessa and Gallant, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. This news was absolutely awful on Saturday. The Pittsburgh Steelers quarterback Dwayne Haskins passed away. He was 24 years old. He was struck by a dump truck while walking on a South Florida highway. Per the Florida Highway Patrol, he was attempting to cross the westbound lanes of a highway when there was oncoming traffic. The spokesperson for the Florida Highway Patrol didn't say why he was on the highway at the time, but it caused the highway to be shut down for several hours. And per the Highway Patrol spokesperson, it was at the time an open traffic homicide investigation. Absolutely horrible. I mean, he wasn't even 25 years old. And it seems, just based off of all of the accounts given of him after the fact, that this was a people pleaser. This was a guy who really liked making others happy. And I think that's the most difficult part to read of it, is to see what some of his teammates had to say. TJ Watt: the world lost a great person today. When Dwayne first walked into the locker room, I could tell he was an upbeat guy. He was always making people smile, never taking life for granted. His impact on me will last forever. Chase Claypool, who was working out with him this weekend: I spent your final moments with you, and I can't help but think how selfless you were in those moments. All you cared about was making sure that everyone around you was okay, and I can't thank you enough for that. You are what I strive to be. Think about that. You don't say that about many people. And, you know, everyone's emotional right now, but, I mean, you know, this is a guy that you can't help but just think, like, man, what is his family going through right now? What is his wife going through? It's really, really sad. But when someone like this passes away in the world of sports, someone who's prominent like this, I mean, it does become a news story. And it was not handled with a lot of grace on Saturday. Now, Adam Schefter, in a since-deleted tweet, essentially said, like, a player who's been struggling to catch on with a couple of teams, in the first tweet about him passing away. Okay, well, maybe you put that in an article or something like that, but if that's not pertinent to what took place. He's a kid who was a first-round pick, sure, but he died. Like, that's what it really should be about. But a lot of people coming after Schefter, I think saying that he should correct it or delete this, that's fine. To go further than that, I don't know. Because when you hear what Gil Brandt had to say while doing a radio interview this weekend talking about Dwayne Haskins, it's just impossible to fathom what the hell was going through that guy's head. Here is Gil Brandt with some really tone-deaf comments about Dwayne Haskins.
I hate any time anybody is killed or anybody dies. But he was a guy that was living to be dead, so to speak. You know, they told him, don't under any circumstances leave school early. You just don't have the work habits. You don't have this. You don't have that. What did he do? Left school early. I always can remember this. We invited players to the draft, and he was one of the players we invited to the draft. And we were told, no, we're going to have our own party. His own party was a party at the bowling alley. Charged him $50 to get into the bowling alley.
Living to be dead, first off. I mean, Jesus, dude. That part, in the immediacy afterwards, you would think you would be able to find something else. And then it goes further, just talking about how he should have stayed in school, like that would have affected this in one way, shape, or form. And then at the end, like that's the first story you can think of with him. There's not something else. You know, how we talk about someone after they die, especially in sports media, it is tricky. There's no denying that. I'd like to think, though, that in the 24 hours after something like this takes place, that we're trying to remember something good, that we're trying to remember something great. Haskins was an incredible player at Ohio State. Why isn't that something that you're thinking about first, or something that you're talking about first? If you have to talk about the sports side of it, well, why not say, like, this guy was an incredible talent at Ohio State, a school that pumps out talent, yes, at a very, very high degree. But you started off with a story about him having his own draft party. And you can hear he sounds like a rambling old geezer in it. And I don't know Gil Brandt personally, but you know, if I'm 90 years old, I'm probably going to sound the same way when I'm rambling on the radio about stuff. But that's the first thing you're thinking of. And it's worse because it kept going. Here's Gil Brandt in that interview continuing with SiriusXM NFL Radio, I believe.
You know, maybe if he'd have stayed in school a year, he wouldn't do silly things. I mean, when you're jogging on a highway, on a road like that, that leaves it open because I tell you, it's so. Guy has two drinks and he's just a little bit to the right side of the road and gets hit and killed. It's easy to happen.
Again, like, it sounds. He is speaking as if he knows all the specifics of this, and he doesn't. I'm sure we will find some out in the coming days, but do the specifics matter right now when someone died? They don't. That's the answer. The speculation, it's gross. Like, whoa, what was he doing? What was he doing? I mean, I suppose it is a fair question to ask a couple of days from now, but right now, come on. Like, give it a little time, especially if you don't know what the hell you're talking about. Someone texted in, Lou Holtz sounding a little more lucid these days. Yeah, ain't that the truth? Austin, 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN calling in. Austin, what's going on, man?
Hey, man, I just got 2 points. One, you're definitely right about the Brady thing with Miami. We remember when Brian was brought, I guess, onto a boat or whatever, and
yeah,
they were trying to entice a certain free agent quarterback that was, you know, a veteran, that he was coming down to meet in Miami, which obviously was a.k.a. Tom Brady.
Yes.
Like, yeah, those Miami rumors, like, then now with this new one, definitely, like, there's definitely traction with it. I definitely agree with you on there. And then I actually wanted to comment on what you were saying just now. Honestly, like, I have two viewpoints of it. One, you can definitely tell that Gil's just, he's out of it. Like,
yes.
He's gotten to the age where I think he's just completely out of touch. I mean, not trying to be insulting, but my grandmother, who had dementia and Alzheimer's, literally was sounding the exact same way, where she, she's talking about a subject, you can see what she's talking about, but she's out of touch of just reality, right? So it's the same thing with him. And then honestly, to be honest, I'm kind of disgusted about the programmers with the interviewers, you know, they were doing the interview. You'd think they would cut him off.
Yeah.
When they would kind of realize, like, hey, like, something's going on with him. He's not talking straight. Like, he's not acting the way he usually does. Like, something's going on. Like, it almost seems like they let it go on for so long.
Yeah. Austin,
that to me, I also view that point. That's just kind of wrong as well. What he said wasn't okay, but just that also.
It wasn't. You're right. You're right. And look, it's not even that surprising. And appreciate the phone call, like, Austin. We have less of a filter when we're older. You know, I'm not here coming out with like a pitchfork and torch or anything like that. Like, I mean, this is what you get when you have someone who's 90 years old on the radio. But I also got to say too, to Austin's point, and we brought this up in the first hour. Like, hey. Person who's doing the interview, I mean, he just kept going and going and going. There's a certain point where you have to step in or you have to push back. Say, like, hey, dude, come on. Like, why are we talking about this? And this is one of those interviews where you can tell, like, the guy probably heard him just start rambling and was like, all right, I'm just going to sit back. Which, by the way, that happens. There's a lot of people that do that in radio. Sometimes people just keep on going and going and going. And it is the job of you or the producer or anyone to try to get things back on track, but also to get someone to get to the point and stuff. And, I mean, he was saying the same thing over and over again. Those were two clips from the same answer. You know, that was like 2 minutes, essentially, that he just went on Dwayne Haskins. And where is somebody to say, like, dude, come on, or something like that? Not there. Bad job by the hosts. I'm Paul Gallant. No, Vanessa. Vanessa's going to be back with us tomorrow right here, Vanessa and Galan, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Up next on this show, what did the Astros do over the weekend? What was the most impressive thing you saw? Justin Verlander and what he was able to do on Saturday? Or was it Jeremy Peña's performances on Friday and Sunday? Is it more Alex Bregman? We'll talk about that next right here, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Stay up to date with the latest innovations hitting the city of Houston by visiting innovationmap.com or follow them on any of your social media platforms. Just search Innovation Map. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
I'm really happy with what I saw from Justin Verlander on Saturday. I mean, if you thought that maybe coming off of Tommy John surgery at age 40, there were causes for concern for Verlander this coming season, you were 100% being sane. I still feel at the same time that Verlander's kind of Tom Brady-esque in that both clearly have visions of playing probably forever. I don't know that the Tommy John surgery that Verlander just had is something that made him think to himself, I'm not going to be able to keep going. I just remember vividly, it was a couple of years ago, him talking about how, yeah, I plan on pitching until I'm 45. And I feel like that's still a goal for him. Because what else is there really for him to prove other than that he can keep on doing this and maybe, as he does it, continue to rise up all of the all-time pitching statistic rankings. But he looked pretty good on Saturday, seriously. I mean, I thought that maybe there's a chance where he'd be a little rusty coming out of it. But what we saw from him in the spring, this was pretty consistent with his last start. 5 innings, gets a pretty good Angels lineup. 3 hits, 1 home run allowed, 1 earned run, 7 strikes. 3 walks. He looked good. He just unfortunately went up against Noah Syndergaard, who also seems like he is just as good as he used to be. Holding that Astros lineup, which was missing, you know, Yuli Gurriel, was missing Alex Bregman until he came into pinch hit. It was without, you know, most of the firepower that it needs. But it was one of those games where, you know, if he had any run support in it at all, then we're maybe having a different conversation at the end of it about how, like, wow, they won and Verlander looked great. They had a 4-game sweep over the weekend. Syndergaard looked really good, and that does make me, when it comes to the Los Angeles Angels, even though the Astros, of course, took 3 of 4 from them on the road, it does make me think that they're a little more difficult to beat. I guess I've kind of, I don't know why I have been, but I've been kind of just overlooking the whole Syndergaard dynamic of the Angels. I've been thinking to myself, okay, it's Ohtani, it's Trout, it's Rendon, and then we'll see what happens with the rotation. Syndergaard's there, sure. Maybe it works. Maybe it doesn't. But now I'm like, okay, well, if he's going to look like that, and if the only contact that the Astros are going to be able to make off of Syndergaard is some weak stuff, which is what it was, then yikes. I had another take. This was released a couple of, what was it, days ago? Oh, it was yesterday. The Astros released a little video that announced their new uniforms. This is Mission Control. This is Houston. This is Space City. And I think they look like Epcot. Hashtag trash. But Lawrence is calling in 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN. Lawrence, what you got?
Hey, first of all, thanks for taking my call. I wanted to talk about the Apple broadcast first.
Okay.
I think you hit it on the head the other day when you said baseball is old for old people, and it really is. So what I really liked about that broadcast, and I'm old, I'm 53, what I liked about the broadcast was it, first of all, it was on Apple TV, so it's going to draw millennials and Gen Zers, and it was very geared towards them. So if they're trying to get a new audience, good up on MLB for doing that.
I'm glad you brought that up, Lawrence.
That or not.
And we'll get you, let you get to your other point in a second, but I noticed that on Friday, too. Like at first, it took me a while with the Apple TV broadcast. It did. At first, I was sort of like, I don't think I like it, but it felt like they were finding their stride in like the 6th and the 7th inning, and it felt, yes, it didn't feel as old school as traditional broadcasts are. I liked the way that they were talking with each other, and I feel like there's enough chemistry there that maybe with a couple more reps that sounds like a much better broadcast. But I felt like I was kind of in the minority in terms of being someone open to this broadcast and the style of the broadcast, because I want something that makes me feel like, hey, yes, there's a game going on, but all right, there's also a conversation that's happening on the side that can be steered by what's happening in the game as opposed to just the X's and O's, yeah. the one, yeah. two, and three of the game as it goes on.
Couldn't agree more. I'm looking forward to another broadcast. And the Space City jerseys, I love. You're right. They're 100% Epcot, but I work for Walt Disney World, so maybe I'm
into it
a little bit.
Well, hey, that's fine.
Have a good day. Thanks, Gene.
Hey, appreciate it, Lawrence. Look, they're not for me. I'm not going to tell. I'm just not going to wear them. I don't like them. I feel like it's too much blue. You know, you're blue and orange. You've got those awesome Tequila Sunrise uniforms, which I think are some of the best in baseball. If you're going to do something fun, then do it like that. This was like a little too space age, postmodern, like where everything was trying to go in the early 2000s for me. It's just a little tacky. I get it. The font on the jersey isn't bad. I don't like the hats. I don't. They look like the spring training hats.
See, I like the hat.
You do?
Yeah, I like the logo on it.
You are a hat guy. You've got a couple of good hats. I like this Vans hat that you're wearing right now.
Thank you.
And I like the other Astros hat you got too. And you don't do the curved brim. You do like the sort of like
yeah, like the
brim.
Semi. Yeah, it's not like completely level, but yeah.
I like it. I wish that I had actually done this with any of my hats before, because I always curve them like immediately when I get them, mm-hmm. even if they're not. But I think the flat brim look looks weird. Like, it's like I'm trying to show off that I'm young and I'm not capable anymore.
There's an F1 driver, Max Verstappen, who wears hats. And his, I think he gets like specially made to be as flat as humanly possible.
Oh, God.
You could set a drink on his hat.
I don't get the flat brim look. I'm not hip with the streets, if you will. I'm not hip with the cool kids, but I've never understood the flat brim, because it seems, I don't know, it just seems wrong. Maybe that's because I've been conditioned, though, to think that the hat needs to be curved. The brim needs to be curved. Who curved them in the first place? I don't even know. It's weird.
That is a good question. Who is the first person to, like, customize the hat? Especially like a baseball cap.
Yeah.
Like, who's the, you know, like he definitely, whoever like is the first guy to either curve it or uncurve it or whichever happened first, definitely got hit by a pitch for doing so.
Yes.
Broke the unwritten rules.
Yeah.
Freddie Freeman was mad at him.
He 100% did, just got drilled in the head. And I mean, if this was during the helmet wearing days, that guy might be dead. The first person
who
ever
did
it.
I mean, he's probably already dead because it probably happened in 1910, but yes.
Someone on Chandler on Twitch says, twitch.tv/ESPN975. Paul, you got to be from here to get it. What does that mean? I love the video. I did. It's like, hey, we're down to Earth City. But I'm sorry, the all blue is too much. Someone actually, you know what? Enfrentes Respector, I agree with you here. If they had white pants, it would be a badass uniform. Yeah, or put orange in the brim or something like that. I just felt like it was too much blue.
Yeah, I like the orange brim. And yeah, I'm a big the one thing that I really don't like about it is the blue pants. I don't like the same color all the way down. Maybe this is my old man take that I think baseball pants should either be white or gray.
Yeah, like, that's fine. I mean, I'm with you. You need to have some contrast going
yeah.
on. It can't be all the same thing.
You know what? It looks very softball. I think that's it. Connotes
Thank
softball.
You. It looks like all the things that the Chicago White Sox used to wear back in like the 80s, which were I would say problematic fashion wise as at best. 713-780-3776. This kind of Monday is my kind of Monday. We're talking about uniforms. The Astros did take three of four from the Angels over the weekend, and Scottie Scheffler is your Masters champion. We'll wrap up the show talking about those two things. And a very, very lengthy suspension has been handed out to one of the most controversial figures in the world. Is it enough? Why wasn't he sent to jail? We'll talk about that next.
ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Sugarland Space Cowboys, baby. Back on ESPN 92.5 tomorrow. Vanessa Richardson's going to be back with me tomorrow as well for Vanessa and Gallant. The whole gang's back together. That should be a whole lot of fun with Sean Mapes behind the glass, too. Got an explanation for the all-blue look from Dustin on Twitter. And this makes a lot of sense, Dustin, so thank you for sharing this. The pants and jerseys are all the same color because flight suits are all the same color. I mean, that makes sense. What if they had gone all orange? Because aren't, you know, in Armageddon, they're wearing all orange. Also, that's an astronaut color. Is that why the Astros are blue and orange?
That,
I
feel like I would like that better. They're in all orange, and they're like inspired by the movie Armageddon.
But
there's
be,
the Astros uniform.
I don't know if they can do that, Sean, because they would be appropriating prison culture. If they're wearing all orange.
True, that is problematic.
That's really problematic. Like you can't tell their stories. They're wearing all orange. Come on, man.
Yeah, that's the crushing reality of the American prison system, and now you're just wearing it as a costume to sell jerseys, Nike.
Hashtag abolish prison or something.
Yeah.
That's at least what they told me in Seattle all the time.
Abolish prison?
Yeah, they didn't want any of that.
Okay.
Yeah, well, again.
That seems like a lot. Let's reform.
Oh, wow.
Let's reform first, and then we'll get to abolishing it.
Sean, something from Seattle sounds like a lot? Wow. I never
very extra,
of it like that.
Extra crowd out there.
Just a little bit. Just a little bit. Oh, boy. Yeah, the all orange would have been nice. It is weird that also, you know, while we're talking about like random changes, like you go away from the black and white stripes to all orange. I mean, that's probably going to cost more money, right? Anyway, that's just a random hot take that's come to my mind as far as like convict outfits. But the Houston Astros, they don't look like convicts. They are wearing flight suits and these Space City uniforms that they've got. I'm not a fan. Too much blue. I get why they're doing it, but I don't know. Some contrast. Come on, man. I want to wear this out in public, potentially. Am I going to buy this? No, I am not endorsing it. I'm not endorsing it. I am not endorsing this either because this is one of the lightest punishments I've ever seen in my life. It's actually just funny that this punishment is taking place. Will Smith has been suspended from the Oscars and the Academy Awards, which is apparently possible as if he is an athlete. This is great. A suspension. Will Smith, the write-up reads, who stormed the stage at the 2022 Oscars to slap Chris Rock shortly before winning the year's Best Actor prize, has been banned from attending the Oscars and all other Academy events for 10 years. The Academy's Board of Governors decided on Friday. Well, what other events are there? Are there other events? Like, do they have luncheons or something like that?
Maybe, like, the red carpet is its own event.
But if you're not allowed into the red carpet, if you're not allowed into the Oscars, right?
Yeah, they probably do have, like, luncheons or meetings or something.
Oh, yeah. You know what? You're probably right.
Closed door Illuminati stuff.
Ooh, yeah. Some rituals?
Yeah. Slap on the wrist for the Illuminati stuff.
Will, you're not allowed to our rituals anymore. You're not allowed to our sacrifice rituals where we determine whether or not you're going to actually be the big thing in Hollywood.
All sacrifice rituals must be done in the privacy of your own home, Will Smith.
Yeah, Will. Yeah. I mean, there must be something like that done. Like, how did everyone sign off on Jared Leto randomly being in a million blockbuster things over the course of the past calendar year?
And stinking in all of them?
They're all terrible. Right. Like, Jared Leto's not good. Sorry, Jared Leto. Just not a fan. So he's suspended from, I guess, these events where people pay, like, a ridiculous amount of money to be lectured at by a bunch of actors. Hey, we got to do something, man. About what? About everything, man. The Ukraine, COVID, the Iraq. I personally believe, like such as, we need to be better at things so we can ensure our future. Miss Teen South Carolina, 2006. What a legend. The report continues. I accept and respect the Academy's decision. There was a statement that was put together by the Academy presidents, David Rubin and Don Hudson. And actually, this is the most important development that's come, not even the suspension. The 94th Oscars were meant to be a celebration of the many individuals in our community who did incredible work this past year. However, those moments were overshadowed by the unacceptable and harmful behavior we saw Mr. Smith exhibit on stage. During our telecast, we did not adequately address the situation in the room. Thank you. That's the thing that bothers me the most, is that everyone just acted like it didn't happen. They just moved on entirely. Amy Schumer barely even made reference to it, and she's a stand-up comic, for God's sake. And she didn't say anything. Instead, she was like, women's rights are being oppressed, and Ukraine is, what's happening is bad, like, in like a really quick aside, went in her last chance in front of a microphone to actually talk. No one brought it up at all. Kevin Costner just goes into a diatribe about watching a movie when he was seven. Like, no, we want to know what happened. There's no reaction to this at all. We're just going to move on. No one brought it up at all. It's crazy to me that that happened. And then Will Smith goes back up and he gives his speech and he starts essentially saying like, yeah, you know, like just like King Richard, I would do anything for my family. Like he's Dom Toretto in Fast and Furious. And no one does anything. They're like, oh yeah, good job, Will. It's unbelievable. And no one addressed it. And had someone addressed it, then maybe we would have actually gotten an apology in the moment instead of Will Smith just being completely out of touch and going off on some Looney Tunes like spiel about how being Richard Williams has made him a better man. Like that was what happened. Someone should have spoken up. So I'm glad that the Academy acknowledged this. Who cares about the suspension? It's stupid as it is. All right. What else do we have before we hit the road? Oh, well, look, Rob Manfred, not exactly the best commissioner as far as baseball goes, right? We could all agree on that, huh? I mean, Rob Manfred basically has done everything possible to, I think, alienate not only himself from the players and the owners, but the fans. It's actually, you know, respectable. Just the amount of lengths that he has gone to make everyone hate him. But guess what? Not anymore. Baseball Commissioner Rob Manfred gifted Major League players Bose headphones on opening day as a peace offering after a bitter 99-day lockout that delayed the start of the season. Please accept this gift as a small gesture of my appreciation for the hard work that comes with being a major leaguer and your respect for our incredible fans. Thank you for everything you do in a game that has such a rich history and deep meaning to our fans in the U.S. and around the world. Wishing you the best of luck for a successful season. Would headphones be enough? If you're going to be bought off by somebody, do what you want. Headphones? Headphones. I think you can do better, Rob. Like, are they wireless headphones? Do we know that? Or are they, I mean, something tells me that Rob probably bought the headphones that have a wire where you need to have the stupid adapter to your lightning cable to, what is it, 1/8 of an inch adapter. Something tells me that these are not wireless. Something tells me that these are not, like, real headphones. And I got to say, like, that to me is sad. These players deserve more than that, Rob. That's all you got? Headphones? There's got to be some people who are like, you know what, actually, that's enough for me. That's all I needed. Headphones. But I hope that these are wireless.
You know what? He almost ended the season, cost me millions of dollars. But you know what?
Headphones. Yeah,
I got some. I'm trying to look to see what brand they are, because that is a if he was like Beats or Bose or something, I'd be like, okay,
they are.
They're probably nice. Oh, okay, Bose.
They are so Bose is the top of the line.
I'm guessing Bose is the official headphone sponsor of MLB.
Oh,
I'm just going out on a limb.
Well, it does say online that they're about headphones for Bose are like $379. So, I mean, I don't know. I feel like I'd want a little more, like a piano. If you're going to give me something, you know,
what?
I don't
That's
know.
Such a hassle.
I know. But, like, put it in front of my locker. That's fine.
So there's going to be 26 pianos in a...
Give me something extravagant, damn it. The headphones, like, they can fit in a box. I don't know. I feel like he could have gone a little bit further. Give me like a stuffed tiger or something. Wait, that's not cool.
Yeah.
That's cancelable now, huh? Jungle Cats, you can't do that anymore.
You mean like an ag? I was picturing a stuffed animal.
No, like a stuffed tiger.
Like a taxidermy?
Yeah, give me a tiger head.
You want to kill whatever 26 times 30 tigers are?
No, it's probably the rest of the tigers in the world. All right, PETA, don't come after me. I am merely Paul Kalon. I have no idea where the hell I'm going at the end of this one. Brendan Riley just comes into the studio. He's like, what are you doing, Paul? It's a great question. We ask this every single day. Big thanks to Sean Mapes behind the glass. Vanessa Richardson's going to be back with me tomorrow. And big thanks to everybody who tuned into today's edition of the show. Coming up next is the Killer Bees, Joel Blank, Jeremy Branham, right here, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. So long, farewell, and have yourselves a wonderful Paul Gallant day.
can't know when the whistle goes.
Real fun. Sports. ESPN 97.5.